it's the sound of Bathrobe Spears Broadsides coming your way. Sunday, May 23rd. Today we are going to have a special focus on the protest last night that resulted in a hot seat for Sam Farr and some cold jail cells for five protesters seized by police after a provocation by the police department, an unannounced attack on the protest. Stay tuned, and we're also having reports, of course, our usual homeless rights reports from here, there, and everywhere. Fire was turned up pretty hot last night by the Santa Cruz Police Department, led by that cowboy of cowboys, Officer LaFavor, who led a raid into a crowd that was noisily but peacefully protesting Sam Farr's Bombs for Peace support of President Clinton's NATO bombing policies at a dinner, a banquet dinner, being held downtown for the Democratic Party, kind of as a, I guess, an annual event they have. Farr was the keynote speaker. There were 50 to 100 protesters there, depending on who you talk to. And this was not a quiet group. They were shouting. They were playing copies on a, sounds on a boombox of the falling of bombs, cluster bombs, on Belgrade that had been picked up off the internet. They were trying to bring home to the folks sitting around in suits and ties inside at the Farr affair that it ain't, it may be far here, but it ain't that far away for those who are getting bombed in Kosovo, in Belgrade, in Yugoslavia. And who knows where the war will spread to as the preparations for the ground war advance. So the protesters were outspoken, and I was there. I was there throughout the entire event. I, of course, wasn't everywhere. There was so much happening, it was hard to keep track of it. And today from 3 to 5, free radio broadcaster George is going to give you a full show on the issue, so I'm going to only give you a few of the highlights plus a few interviews. I was fortunate enough to get a call from the only protester still in custody, Steve Argue, who is currently in jail in lockdown, and that is to say, I'm not quite sure there's any lockdown isolation is, but he's not in the general population. He placed a collect call to me about half an hour ago, which I tried to record with my feeble and pathetic equipment, and I got something. I don't know how much of it is going to be too audible to folks, but I think there is sufficient concern about Steve, who was arrested in a melee in which police were trying to grab a woman and her four-year-old child and take them to jail, with all the ensuing Child Protective Services wrenching of the child away from the mother. Her crime being to be one of the many people that was around this police van demanding to know the police department why a woman was being arrested, a woman that Officer Lefevre apparently singled out from others. I believe it was Officer Lefevre. Some witnesses claim it was he. From the group of people chanting outside the window, she was next to a woman holding this boombox that apparently caused the police so much consternation that they confiscated, took away. It wasn't even her boombox. She wasn't holding it. This woman was arrested, and as a consequence, another woman and her child, as well as a dozen or more protesters surrounding the van, wanted to know, why are you taking this woman to jail? The police wouldn't say, and instead started attacking the crowd, arresting more people. And Steve Argue was drawn into that situation. He was beaten with truncheons, kicked. He was pepper sprayed. You're going to hear all this from him, but this is what witnesses told me, and this is what you're going to hear, I guess, on George's show, and this is what's going to be discussed at the town clock today at 5:30, where there will be a rally to free Steve Argue and to further the education of the community to get the U.S. out of Yugoslavia and to stop the bombing there. You're tuned to Free Radio Santa Cruz, 96.3 FM. I'm your host, Bathrobes Pierre Robert Norse. I'll be with you for the next 2.5 hours in my Sunday show. We're hoping to have a special guest in as well. Again, I think the Reverend Phillips is going to join us. He's a activist minister with a gay and lesbian ministry, and also concerned a lot with the rights of homeless people. He's going to talk to us about the hate crimes forum, and we're hoping to get a couple of call-ins on that as well, as not only are the police beating demonstrators, it's also a case of troll busters claiming to be police running around and beating up homeless people, helpless homeless people, and the city council and the homeless services center and the mayor refusing to do anything about it, other than look into it and down a month down the road to possibly put it on the agenda for the next board meeting and talk about it. So we got lots of things happening today. But I think what we want to turn to first is Steve Argue in jail. I know this is a matter of concern for a lot of regular listeners of Free Radio Santa Cruz. So bear with me as I attempt to make this tape audible of an interview with Steve in the Santa Cruz County Jail, where he attends. He will be until Tuesday. At the earliest, he's there on $20,000 bail on a felony charge of battery on a police officer. Let's hear what Steve has to say.
Okay, we have on the line Steve Argue, and Steve, you're calling from jail this Sunday morning. How you doing?
All right, could be better.
Talk real loud.
Okay. Well, I'm in lockdown. The police attacked without provocation or demonstration against the war yesterday. A demonstration from the Democratic Party fundraiser was hostile.
So I'm going to apologize to all you listeners out there for the bad equipment and the bad recording. We actually used to have a better recording line on the phone where you could actually hear people audibly and so forth. But though it's possible to make this out if you're listening to it very carefully, it's not only is it not transmission quality stuff, but it's really something we can't play on the air. Instead, I'm going to summarize what Steve Argue told us, or told me. And he said he was indeed kicked and beaten, and he was indeed pepper sprayed in his mouth, where his mouth was forced open and spray was forced down his throat, making it difficult for him to breathe, an action that may have resulted in the death of at least, well, some say it's 34 people in the state of California, pepper spray deaths. Certainly, I think it's California, maybe it's the U.S., and people concerned about the use of pepper spray, but also two men we know of, Mr. Garcia and a second man in San Francisco who was the subject of many protests in order to get the police officers involved, Aaron Williams was his name, dismissed from the San Francisco police force. So Steve was then, the treatment was delayed, they finally gave him water, and then they finally gave him more water, took him to the hospital. He was held handcuffed in the back of a van. It happened, I guess this whole process took several hours. He said after the initial violence by Officer Lefebvre and perhaps a few other officers, and the neglect in the police van, the kicking, the pummeling, the hitting with the truncheons, he was treated properly by the Sheriff's Department and other officers. He has no complaint about how they treated him. He was held in lockdown. They offered him a phone call late at night, which he didn't want to use because he didn't think it was useful, and he called instead this morning and spoke to me. He spoke at great length about the need for returning the focus to stopping the U.S. bombing, the Iranian-depleted weapons, ammunition that's being used, the cluster bombs, the fact that Milosevic in Yugoslavia is cracking down on anti-war protesters, just as Clinton and local governments here are cracking down on anti-war protesters to continue their conflict on both sides. These governments don't give a damn what their people think, apparently, both of them. That was Steve's view, and he wanted to put that view out there for you to consider. He will be presumably going to arraignment, he has been told, appearing in court on Tuesday. He can't be visited in jail until then, but people can put money on his books. His name is Steve Argue, A-R-G-U-E. I suggest you, if you're interested in this, that you call the jail at 454-2420 and ask what time they're open for this and what kind of ID you need. It sounds strange that you have to have ID to put money on a person's books, but you do. So, that's what's cooking with Steve. He said he got a breakfast this morning of scrambled eggs, and this time they gave him a spoon. If you may recall, he was attacked by a deputy when he was held on November 14th over the weekend last year in another assault by the police on him, where he was trying to sell a street newspaper, the very good Street Spirit, where yours truly, my articles appear frequently, out near the New Leaf Market, and he was told by Officer Garner he couldn't do that, thrown to the ground, held for 4 days, and then all charges were dismissed. And at that time, while he was in jail, he was denied a spoon to eat with and angrily denounced that, and he was then assaulted by deputies and dragged off to solitary. Well, this time he is in lockdown, which I think is one step up from solitary, but still pretty solitary. I think it's you're held off to the side, but you're not in the general population, but you still have access to the phone, whereas in solitary you're not allowed access to the phone except for 1 hour a day. Steve says he's trying to get a newspaper, but he has to get through some kind of forms. We've contacted several attorneys and left messages. Keith Sugar apparently is being approached and hasn't yet, as far as I know, agreed to do anything on this issue, but there's always hope. Kate Wells has been approached. She has a very demanding schedule. Tomorrow she's going to try to see Steve in jail. The attorneys and I guess members of the cloth can get in to see prisoners prior to the 48 or 72 hour hold period, but not ordinary human beings like you and I. So Steve is in essence locked up there until arraignment on Tuesday, which you can find out the time. It's probably 8:30, but the actual court, you can either come to court at 8:30 in the morning at 701 Ocean Street, or you can call the jail to find out what court it's going to be in, and if they might not tell you, in which case you just go down there and you look at the court calendars and see what's going on. As I said, there's going to be a show on the subject between 3 and 5. George, who was a witness to a lot of this, is going to be covering the subject quite thoroughly, I understand. And there's also going to be a meeting at the town clock at 5:30, plus the usual protest tomorrow at 5:15, where Women's International League for Peace and Freedom will be out there with pickets at the town clock demanding an end to the bombing. And generally speaking, we're going to be also covering the, well, and in the next few minutes, we're going to be giving you some footage from the protest yesterday, which I think was wildly successful. I think nobody in that room was able to ignore the protesters outside. The media were a little late in getting it, and our own media contacts were a little bit attenuated and not too well organized. I mean, we're not the most organized group here, folks. We're struggling to do what we can, and it's a marvel that we're doing what we're doing, and it's quite impressive that we're getting done what is getting done. And there was a you're going to hear my description of the protest shortly after this next brief musical interlude, a song by Carol Denny. Quite appropriate. See You in Santa Rita. That's a jail up in Alameda County, or thereabouts, where people protesting in Berkeley get sent. So check out this song and stay tuned on Free Radio Santa Cruz at 96.3 for more updates and more of Bathrobs Pier's broadsides.
Situation. Returning to the protest about 7:15 or so, 7:21 by my somewhat fast watch. And there's an IWW flag, red and black, flying outside. Ed Fry is still at his position. Ever a vigilant, rogue superpower, NATO out, says one sign. And bubbles are wafting over the whole scene. And people are continuing to make signs. The sign is Stop U.S. Ethnic Cleansing. And well, the folks seem to be still here. I'm impressed.
Damn far, you can't hide. We charge you with genocide. There are about 30 people right up against the window as the banquet. Well, the folks still are not seated, but somebody's at the podium about to speak. Not quite sure what's going on here. I better take a look here. Far. Whoa. He's ignoring the people. Can you imagine? I don't know what to say. What? Sam Farr is the guy right there. That's Fred Keeling. I've got Fred Keeling, actually. The guy who's... That's Keeling. I'm not sure that is Sam Farr. I'm not told he's in there. Police have arrived. We have a police officer is here. And he's pushing people away from the window. And the arrests are happening. Looks like What's your name? The woman has been handcuffed and being dragged back. Becky, where's the video? Video. Okay, and a woman is being arrested. I know about a three-piece Chinese man. And the boombox is being seized. Fucking tank. Hey, don't forget the target.
Yeah, I know. Don't forget far. I don't know, for the boombox.
Grabbed it from my hand and hurt me.
What happened? Tell me what happened.
I picked up the boombox and he grabbed it from me, told me to let go, and ripped off my hand from it, and he hurt my hand.
Are you okay?
Well, keep the demonstration going, folks. Don't get up here. And folks are clustering around the paddy wagon up the street, arresting a woman for, I'm not sure what.
Come on,
so people are standing in front of the car.
Let her go!
People are standing around the car.
And is flashing its lights.
Becky Johnson is rushing out with her video camera. There are people on both sides. And Tracy has and there's a man with a small child actually near the passenger side of the squad car. Simply beating a drum, a little drum, and walking around the car.
Let her go!
More police officers are arriving. Benny is being targeted. Sergeant McMahon.
What did he do? You break no law? Nobody broke any law. That young woman didn't break any law.
You're going to be killed.
Police
officers
and Jim is standing in front of the squad car and they have to be arrested.
Anybody know Benny's last name?
Consternation in the crowd.
Officer Hatcher. It's Keith Sugar. He's out here too.
Fucking calm down and tell me what's happening.
Can I say something? There was the girl. I know she's from my dorm. She was holding the tape recorder of a bomb. That's all she was doing. She was holding a tape recorder, and they arrested her for it.
He's a tape recorder with a bomb.
God, too much.
They're arresting a man with a baby.
Bomb.
Hey! A man with a baby is being arrested.
Assaulted a child! Assaulted a baby! Assaulted a child! Assaulted a child!
And someone's running away in the other direction. Steve Argue.
This is the time when Steve Argue was about to be hit and pepper sprayed and arrested.
So we have a first alarm.
You're hurting the kid. You're abusing the child.
And another man is being arrested. What's your name?
For what? Nassim Griffey.
What are you under arrest for?
Okay. We have a number of...
Another man was arrested for essentially questioning and arresting a man with his child on his shoulders. And he and Steve aircraft taken to jail.
A number of arrests.
Man and child were let go. Similarly, Steve Argue took the place of a woman and her child.
And run away.
Get down the street, sir. You get on the sidewalk.
Officer Lamas has advised me to get out of the sidewalk. What's wrong with you guys? And Officer Perry is here chewing his gum. Looks like we have a squad of about six boys. Another man who was just arrested across the street, Nassim, I believe. And down here, I think we have other action happening. I'm walking down to Cooper and Pacific, and it looks like Steve Argue is being taken to jail. Phil Bear is upset about this.
The people was beating the shit out of Steve when Steve was in the fetal position. You need to chill out, officer.
I'm on the corner. What the fuck?
We're on the sidewalk. You can't hassle us right now.
I'm the one that was beating.
This is a pig who just said, yeah, I killed John Dye.
I'm blaming you, a fucking bully.
Officer Carey has drawn his truncheon.
You were standing over him.
You better look into another different way.
So we have another example of a beating.
Bombing in Kosovo, violence on the streets here thanks to your police department. They don't want you to hear the truth. They don't want Sam Farr's banquet disturbed. That's the idea. Keep the bombing going. Keep the people quiet. Let's go back to the banquet. Back to the banquet.
Right. I think we should call Steve.
And we have two council members here. They came out of the banquet briefly to see the police beatings. That's nice.
Hey, Sam! The ground troops have come! They're out here!
We're back, Sam!
The army has arrived!
And so are the loyal city council members, apparently. Going back inside again.
That was Councilmembers Crone and Sugar who were at the banquet, as was Mayor Byers.
Sam, you can't hide. We charge you with genocide. Sam, we can't hide. We charge you with genocide.
Sam, you can't hide.
We charge you with genocide. You can't hide. We charge you with genocide.
The crowd is smaller. I'm keeping an eye also on the sidewalk area, which is about half a block up. See what's going on. There's a cluster of police over there. Bob, any comments?
I just missed it all.
Vinny got arrested.
What was the supposed crime?
There were people around the wagon angrily demanding that the woman inside.
What happened to Steve?
I did not.
Can you tell me what happened?
Steve got beaten by Officer Lefebvre. Lefebvre had a bloody nose when I got back there, but Fry was very angry that he saw Lefebvre hitting him with his truncheon, but I didn't see any of that.
Did Ed get arrested?
No, he's still here.
Okay, he's a witness.
Yeah.
We need to get witnesses
together. Yeah, we do, yeah.
And you're tuned to Free Radio Santa Cruz, 96.3 FM. That is part of the tape, unedited, as you can hear, and not very well put together, but gives you some of the flavor of what was happening yesterday, some of the anger, some of the spontaneous comments of people who claimed they witnessed a beating of Steve Argue by Officer Lefebvre, who was also apparently struck himself. There's some confusion about that. We have an incoming call here. But we are going to be limiting this section of the program because we have a guest who can't really stay too long.
Hi, you're on Free Radio Santa Cruz.
Hi, Robert. Just one thing I wanted to say. They didn't let that woman go with the kid. And there was another guy that also took that kid's place. There were several people that wrestled that kid away from the cops.
interesting. I guess I was with you in the group that was crossing Front Street, but I think it was we're talking about two people with two different children.
Oh, really? I didn't see the other one.
Yeah, Steve argued.
A lot of child abuse going on, huh?
Yeah, the one that we were with was a man with a child.
Okay, I was listening to that on the tape, and I was wondering about that, because it sounded like a different incident.
Yeah, I know you were present. Nassim was the man who was eventually arrested, and as I said, in essence, kind of took the place.
Yeah, and that was with the woman with the baby, right?
And that was, that was the man with the baby. That was the one where you and I were there. Then there was a woman with a baby who went, it was like in the other direction toward Cooper Street.
Yeah, like they wrestled all the way, several people wrestled with the cops all the way across the street with that one, and she eventually got away.
The point was that it really seemed very unprofessional behavior by the police. For example, the initial thing was prompted by a police officer seizing a boombox and then a woman who wasn't even holding the boombox without announcing to the crowd, you have to step away from the window, without announcing to the crowd, oh, this is an illegal assembly, without announcing to the crowd instructions or intentions. And it naturally provoked a very strong response by people angry and concerned about a woman who wasn't even holding a boombox being taken into custody. And that's what prompted folks, I think, to surround that van. Didn't you think so?
Well, I think it provoked a very angry response to me when I saw the police putting that baby in danger, trying to yank it from the mother's arms, like they were yanking on the arm that she's trying to hold her baby with. The baby almost fell. I saw the baby get, like, bumped with nightsticks. It was just, I lost it. I normally wouldn't get that closely into a situation like that.
Well, you weren't the only one. I saw Ed Fry and Phil Bear were just enraged. They were shouting.
Normally very calm guys.
Oh, yeah. They don't want to get involved in that kind of stuff. And even Steve Argue. Steve is a, you know, he's been arrested, but he's a very outspoken individual, but I don't see him getting into physical confrontations with the police. I see him speaking very strongly on issues, not budging, holding his ground, but not rushing into situations and getting, you know. But this kind of thing apparently prompted very strong feelings for a lot of people.
Bombs and missiles do that, I guess.
I guess so, man. At least we're not being shrapneled yet.
No.
Some people are.
Just sticks.
With sticks.
Just with sticks.
Just with big, long sticks.
I was fortunate enough to get hit in the head with Officer Tripp's stick yesterday.
Oh, really?
Yes.
How did that happen?
With the baby, trying to get the baby from the baby and the woman away from Officer Tripp.
Mm-hmm. Well, no confessions on the air, please. I don't.
No,
want
No, never. That's all I'll say.
Well, so in other words, in that fracas, you got caught up in that.
Yeah. Okay. I just wanted to call in on that. I didn't know there was two babies being abused by the police. I must have missed the first.
Yeah, they were. One was a four-year-old child, not a baby, but they were. One was actually looked like a baby. It was the one that you and I were close to, the man with the child, and the guy who had originally been kind of beating on a little rhythmic instrument.
Yeah.
That was closer to being a baby, but I mean, he was still. I think there was like maybe 2 years old or something. That was kind of a baby, I guess you'd say. Sure.
Yeah. Anyways,
thank you for calling in. Let's
get back to your show.
All right.
Good job.
Bye bye.
And now we are going to leave this subject, although if you want to call in, of course you can, to maybe we can get some comments from our guest, John Phillips, who's a preacher, reverend, what are you anyway? Hang on, let's get a reading on your mic.
I'm a minister at Lavender Road Metropolitan Community Church here in Santa Cruz.
And
Reverend John Phillips is my name.
The Reverend John Phillips. And John, we had originally called you in to talk about the hate crimes forum that occurred on Thursday. And that was one of those days when everything was going on. Actually, it was Wednesday. But we couldn't get to it. I think I went off to debate Rotkin up on the hill with the UCSC. But I really kind of wished we'd gone to the hate crimes forum. But before we get into that, you've been hearing about this, police melee around an anti-war protest. What do you think about all this? Any reaction?
I wish I could say I was surprised. It's rather typical. I think that what happened is we got a Democrat in office, and we just all sort of felt like everything was okay, and so we let things sort of get away from us. And now people are on a lot of different fronts. People are saying enough is enough. It's Kosovo. It's the sleeping ban. It's the assaults on gay and lesbian people. It's the assaults on the Temple Beth El. It's just assaults on lesbians at Cabrillo College. It's on and on and on. It's just things are going sort of crazy right now. And people, I think, are saying, we've had enough. You know, we're going to stand up. We're not going to take it anymore. The demonstrations yesterday, unfortunately, I wasn't able to be there. I was elsewhere. getting in trouble. But it's these things are just beginning if we as a society don't return to the idea that love and the people are what matters. And I don't see us doing that, unfortunately.
Well, I know that I thought it was kind of a mixed bag with the protest yesterday, and that, you know, I always hate to see people jailed, and I always get nervous when people, I've got a middle class morality at some bottom level, you know, I don't like to see people have to shout, and I raise my voice on the streets and speak about things, but it's often a struggle to do so, and, you know, it feels like the streets are almost artificially quiet, people keep, mm-hmm. you know, and I walk on the streets and I shout, stop the bombing, and I shout, you know, U.S. out of Yugoslavia, or I shout, look at the police officers, look what they're doing. But it often takes a real kind of, you know, I have to kind of nudge myself to do it. I know I saw Star Wars the other day, and I was making some loud comments about Yugoslavia in the midst of Star Wars, trying to kind of, you know, Star Wars is an interesting movie. It's almost all white, and nobody gets hurt in terms, this is what my my companion with me, Becky Johnson, noticed this. She was telling me that, she noted that, she produces this show as well, she noted that there was no blood in any of the killings in Star Wars. So it's sort of like, you know, you can shoot bang, 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 everybody down, and it's all a big fantasy. It's cowboys and aliens. It's no problem. And to shout about, you know, the blood, the cluster bombs in Kosovo, and as Star Wars does, it has its little funny little robots falling down. I always like to use movie theaters in that way. And no doubt it makes me subject of some annoyance to those who are also in the theater, but
yeah, we were in line for 16 hours to buy tickets, and then another 8 or 9 hours to get in a good seat the day the movie started. And I had some interesting conversations with some of the people in line too. It's like the whole idea behind Star Wars is standing up, you know, fighting oppression and this kind of thing. And yet, on the streets of Santa Cruz, when the marchers went by, I was trying to hand out flyers, anti-war flyers, to the people sitting in line. And I was amazed at the people in line who just shook their head, and they weren't interested. At the forum that we had last Wednesday on hate crimes, Cynthia Meyer, who is the one of the leaders of that group, said that she had to apologize because when this thing was first planned, it wasn't intended to be on the night Star Wars opened. And it's like that movie has taken over so much of our consciousness that it's a wonderful movie. It's a great movie, but it says something about our society.
I guess it's kind of a crappy movie, actually.
I liked it. The writing was lousy, but the special effects were great, though, I thought.
It seemed kind of, there was one of the reviews struck me in the Examiner. It was kind of empty, you know. I mean, it was like, kind of a snot-ass little kid is a sort of the model, the future Darth Vader. I mean, it's kind of intriguing. How does the young kid become Darth Vader eventually? But I would have hoped that in the 20 years between the Star Wars 1 and this latest Star Wars, you would have gotten some advance. But I had the same feeling about the first Star Wars. I hope this doesn't turn into a discussion of Star Wars. Let's see what we got coming in on the phone here.
Hi, you're on Free Radio. Hello? You're on the air. Okay.
If you want to make a comment off the air, by the way, do give a call to 423-4833. My producer is there, and she will take your calls. And if you have information you want to pass on or questions about anything, or perhaps numbers that we've given that you can't quite clearly get because we only say them once or twice, call there. Again, the number to call in on air is 427-3772. You're tuned to Free Radio Santa Cruz, 96.3. In the studio with me, I have the Reverend John Phillips and another guest waiting in the wings over there, a hobo Zinsky of the worst kind. Why don't you sign in, too? Share that mic with that man.
My name is Lee. You invited me the other day, Robert, to chat a little bit about hoboing and how that ties into homelessness. It doesn't tie in all that much, but anyway, nice to be here.
Yeah, well, I think you can also talk about any of the other subjects. If you have comments on anything that comes up, feel free to put your thoughts in.
Yeah, one thing I would add about Star Wars is that I think the function of those type of movies are to give us a way of escape. We don't need it, but I think that the purpose of those kind of movies really are to do that. And I still stand by my guns. I like Star Wars. It was not politically correct. It didn't do anything to stop the war. It didn't do anything to help homelessness. It didn't do anything to foster equal rights. But it was a fun flick. You know, sometimes you got to let your hair down and just do something fun.
I know the feeling. I just think that movies with such huge budgets, you could add all kinds of stuff to that that wouldn't detract from the fun. Would in fact deepen the fun, but that would also involve, you know, including all kinds of other people that aren't normally included in those movies. I know in the first Star Wars movie it was particularly clear. It was a white future, man. Everybody was white. I mean, it was amazing. And, you know, I don't see any gay characters in there. Not a goddamn one. You know, this is 1999. And I know people say, oh, politically correct, you know, have one of everything. Well, I think, you know, they got one of every alien in town. You know, having a few human varieties would be nice as well. I mean, compare that with the other movie, The Love Letter, which also opened. I don't know if you saw that. That was a very interesting movie. It had two women who, I don't want to spoil the movie for folks, but two women were... who are gay, were both the heroes and the winners, and it was done in a very subtle way. It wasn't like some rah-rah thing. You had a relationship between a young man and an older woman, 20 years older, that was seen as a positive thing. You had Tom Selleck, who is sort of a hero, you know, good guy, who didn't get the girl at the end, you know, but he didn't lose the girl either. It was that, sort of, there was the ambiguity that you have in life. I mean, it was interesting. It was, you know, it was intriguing. Instead of this, you know, huge merchandising crap around Star Wars, which, well, I know, people like it, fine, go out and have a good time with it. I mean, I guess I'm looking for movies that include, not just, I want to see good fantasy, but good fantasy can open up doors in reality, too, and include more of reality, and I just, this one didn't.
Well, let's return to a little bit of reality.
Let's
if
return
we
to reality, for God's sake.
last Wednesday, it really, the Forum for Peace and Justice, Stop the Violence, Stop the Hate, at Loudoun Nelson. It was a wonderful success, I thought. We had a number of people, the chief of police, the sheriff. And
oh, dear. Well, I would consider him not a positive feature of any forum against hate.
What was positive, though, was that they went down the board and they had about 2 minutes to introduce themselves.
Right.
Their function was to listen. And that was, yeah, I thought it was pretty good. Whether they heard it or not, I can't say.
Well, the problem is, again, this is like Sam Farr. You know, like yesterday, we've had some concern about, we're supposed to set up some kind of a forum for Farr to be able to hear the concerns of people concerned with the bombing. Mm-hmm. No, we don't want him to hear the concerns. He can hear the concerns anytime he wants. He can call them up and ask them. Mm-hmm. And the flyers have been out there for the 9 weeks the bombing has been going on. What he needs to do is he needs to respond to the concerns. And that's what these police officers, Chief Belcher, Sheriff Tracy, and their sort of hate crime familiar liaisons, who ironically themselves are involved in hate crimes, like James Thurber, deputy in the police department, who has a real hard-on for beating up homeless people.
He's assaulted folks before.
He's assaulted young, he's harassed young people out at the Aptos Shopping Center. And I like to name names on this because I don't think these people should be in positions of power to do this. And I don't think that it's a complete hoax to have police officers at a hate forum sitting up there as though they were somehow dealing with a problem when in fact they are the problem. Yeah,
that's true. And they were confronted. One homeless man, I didn't catch his name unfortunately, but one homeless.
Jerry Henry
was so totally direct about that.
We tried to reach Jerry Henry earlier. Jerry Henry is a guy who's been harassed at the Aptos Shopping Center. He's a minister who worked with Feed the People, the group that until recently served food twice weekly on the mall. And it kind of has gone into eclipse. Actually, it's gone into complete eclipse for the moment. And he is also, he still gives out food to different organizations and goes around and picks it up like Food Not Bombs does. But he has been targeted for advising homeless people and young people at the Aptos Shopping Center of their rights. And he's been, you know, mercilessly harassed by police and merchants out there who seem to want to make the Rancho Del Mar Shopping Center a kind of Pacific Avenue 2, where, you know, they have essentially driven away all the street culture, all the youth culture. And you say he showed up at this forum on Wednesday.
In fact, when he walked in, you could see the sheriff and the police chief both, their heads just sort of like jerked over him. They were very aware of his presence.
That old guilty conscience.
Yeah.
Don't expose me, please.
Yeah, and then we had the invited guest speakers. When we finished speaking out, we had a break, and then it was going to be open mic for a while. And both the chief and the sheriff both, like, very quickly left after that. When Jerry began speaking, he basically accused them of running in terror, which really is what they did. Mm-hmm. I had a little chat with the chief on his way out the door, mm-hmm. and we were talking about the abuse that are happening with the gay and lesbian, bi and trans community here in Santa Cruz, and how we currently have to have security guards watch our church because we're afraid to meet because of all the threats we've been receiving. And the so the chief walked over and said, you know, I wanted to let you know that I agree that it's a shame and yada, 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 basically lip service. And he said, you know, so I said, well, you can do something for me right now if you would. And he said, what's that? And I said, what you can do for me right now is, I know you're not the one that makes the law, but you can order all of your officers to leave homeless people alone. You can tell them not to enforce any of these sleeping ban or any of these anti-homeless things. And he sort of gulped and said, well, I hear you.
Yeah,
which,
right.
Which, of course,
again,
he didn't at any
it's, it's this,
real level.
It's this pose,
problem.
I'm listening to you, right. As though that's something. As though, oh, gosh, at least they're listening.
Yeah.
No, they're not listening. They're nodding in your direction, you know,
but what is
talk.
Potentially exciting is that where this is going is this meeting that we had last Wednesday was only the first. On June 24th from 6:30 to 8, also at Loud Nelson, also in the main auditorium, the big room, there's going to be a follow-up meeting for this. That was the first of a series that we're going to have. What we're trying to do is we're trying to create a coalition of various people so that, for instance, if street people are troll-bashed, I guess that's the word, are beaten.
Troll-bust times, yeah.
Troll-